Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake on up, wake up with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Kuminga Crisis.
To the Bay. 2 years, $48.5 million, basically a 1-1 with a team option, eligible for a trade on January 15th. But we're not gonna talk about that. He is signed for the rest of this calendar year as a Golden State Warrior. And you know what, Joe, just before training camp begins, JK is a part of the team now, and we can put all the other BS in the past. Focus on the future. Good morning to you. Good morning to Carter. Good morning to Sam. I'm feeling great. I'm feeling fantastic. Maybe it was the rain that needed to wash away all the bad vibes here in the Bay when it came to Jonathan Kuminga the last few months. It's been tumultuous. It's been cantankerous. It's been toxic. Whatever word you want to use, I'm just happy it's done. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. 92 days. Do you know what that signifies?
What?
Free agency began June 30th, 2025. Jonathan Kuminga and his agent waited 92 days to accept an offer that was probably on the table for weeks on end.
It felt longer, going to be honest, than 92 days. It felt longer.
Now, I'm happy he's back. I hope everyone can reset. I'm talking about internally, the team, the franchise, the best players, the bench players, the coach, the staff, front office, ownership, Jonathan. Everyone can just reset and move on. I don't know. We'll see. I hope the fans can reset and move on. I don't know. There's a reason you hire an agent for a real estate transaction. Forget the NBA for a second. Most people, when they do a deal, it will be for a home. It'll be one of the biggest deals of their entire life. You are on the hook, you know, in the modern day for $1 million, $2 million. Some people pay $3 million through the life of their mortgage.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you're lucky to be able to afford it and go through that. And I'm going to share just a simple little story. And does the end justify the means is the moral of this story. What are we really arguing about? When I went on the market, my wife and I were desperate to buy a house, and we couldn't afford anything. I mean, we couldn't afford anything. And we only had a very small amount of money, a budget, if you will. And we got denied over and over and over and over again. And thank God we finally ended up getting our house. But, you know, it was through a lot of, like, banging our head against the wall. And we had a great real estate agent who understood the market, who understood just how to do these transactions. And we leaned on Kevin Birmingham for understanding supply and demand, for understanding value, for understanding what are we arguing about? At the end of the day, right, you need someone in your life, whether it's your real estate agent, your consigliere, your uncle, your aunt, your wife, your cousin, your brother, your dad, whoever it might be, to be able to just give you common sense advice. And I get to this where I'm saying, all right, so my wife and I had this house. We could barely afford it. And we were haggling over a couple $1,000s through the life of a 30-year loan. What's a couple $1,000s per month? Pennies? Dollars? For who? For what? Let's look at the big picture here. Do you want to be in a house? Hell yeah, I do. All right? Do you want to move on? Hell yeah, I do. So you bite a little, you put a little more on the table if you can afford it, and the other people maybe take a little off, and you find a way to get the deal done. You know why? Because at the end of the day, I wanted to be in that house. And I look at the Jonathan Kuminga situation, and I say to myself, I think that his agent did a really poor job of navigating all of the other things around this contract. Relationships within the team, relationships with how he'd be perceived by the fans, relationships with his front office and ownership. 2 years, $45 million was one option that was out there. 3 years, $75 million was out there. Both would have had team options in those final years. The other deal that was out there was 3 years, $54 million with no option or the qualifying offer. And I just ask you, how many weeks did they sit on this knowing no one was budging? No one was trading for you and then giving you a contract. Look around at the salaries. You can go on Spotrac. So I think they misread the market here. I think they got bad advice. I think they waited way too long. And I just want to be done with the contract talk with Jonathan Kuminga. But that being said, they haggled over something that was sitting there for weeks on end. And they waited 92 days to kind of tick off everybody. And I just don't know how everyone's going to feel this morning because there finally is a resolution.
Well, that's what I want to ask Warriors fans. How are you feeling this morning as Jonathan Kuminga signs a two-year, $48.5 million contract? It's basically 1 year and a team option after that. And you know how it's worded is always funny to me. Sham Sharani had the tweet yesterday, and this is what it said. Quote, ending a summer-long stalemate, Jonathan Kuminga has agreed to a two-year, $48.5 million contract to return to the Golden State Warriors. Agent Aaron Turner told ESPN, the deal has a team option designed for the contract to be ripped up and renegotiated next summer. That the term ripped up is just funny to me because it just seems so aggressive, right? And that's probably verbatim what the agent Aaron Turner told Shams when he got that information. And this was followed up by Anthony Slater, Shams' colleague, obviously, at ESPN, and obviously formerly of The Athletic, covers the Warriors, very, very, very tapped in. Warriors remained firm in their unwillingness to give Jonathan Kuminga a player option. Kuminga went the 1-1 team option route over the 2-1 to gain control of future and potentially sign bigger extension quicker. He is eligible for a trade on January 15th. And that's why I phrased it this morning, Joe. For at least the rest of this year, in 2025, I know JK is going to be a Warrior. And that's what I can worry about right now. And where are Warriors fans at after this 90-plus day journey from the start of free agency to now? Where are you with Jonathan Kuminga and the Golden State Warriors after this is finally resolved, at least well, for the short-term future?
I'm just thrilled that it's finally over and we can hopefully move on and wash away everything and pivot. And that's why I wanted to get it out of my system about the 92 days.
Yeah.
Because it was a waste of
time. But it didn't, like, it's funny you say the 92 days. Didn't it feel longer than that? It felt like 6 months. And maybe because we knew this was going to be on the horizon, it always felt longer than that.
Sure.
And it's just been on the back of Warriors fans' minds ever since he got injured, quite frankly. And that threw a monkey wrench in the entire situation. You bring in Jimmy Butler. The finances are all out of whack because you pay Jimmy instantly. You don't know what you're going to do in the offseason. You end up getting him. Al Horford was linked to him. You finally can bring in Al Horford now. You can finally bring in D'Anthony Melton. Now Seth Curry, another guy we haven't even mentioned yet, is going to sign with the Warriors and be available for training
camp.
Oh, yeah.
Now, look, so, now I feel really good about the team just in general. Yeah. But the reality is also, like, boy, what an exhausting way to get to a conclusion that we all knew was kind of probably on the table for weeks on end.
Yeah.
Like, that if I was sitting down today and I was part of Jonathan Kuminga's, like, contingent, I'd be like, God, you think we could have handled this a little easier? Now, maybe today's not the day for that. Maybe we should just be thrilled that he's here and ready to move on. I do feel bad for him in a couple senses. And here's why I do feel bad for him. I feel bad for him because I think a lot of people aren't going to be able to let it go. And they're going to hold it over him.
Which I hate that we do that in sports because you saw it with the 49ers and a lot of their contracts. Agree. Whether it was Debo, Bosa, Ayuk was getting booed after, what, like two games last year?
Yeah.
Booed! Coming off a second-team All-Pro season!
You know, but I think also you have to understand how to kind of like navigate these things publicly in the modern sports landscape. It's difficult. Like, both can be true. You have to do it for your own professional growth and to try to maximize your work, but it's also like, you know, You got to understand what you're stepping on, right? And the other part is this. I just feel bad that the second he inks that deal, people are rushing to say the day that he can be traded.
I just feel bad.
Like, on some level, we treat some of these individuals just like fixtures and commodities that can be traded and moved. And it just seems very heartless. And I'm sure that both parties feel like the other one backed themselves into this particular predicament that they were in, this stalemate over the last 6 or 7 weeks. It just, I don't know, from a human element, like, it just doesn't sit well with me to see, like, the second he signs, everyone's got an Instagram take, like, January 15th, he could be traded. January 15th, he could be traded. It's like, geez.
Well, what we always like...
I don't know, it's just like well, like, we couldn't even go, like, yes!
It's always funny, because what we do as fans now when it comes to all these negotiations is, oh, well, this person clearly lost, or this person clearly won. Like, as if you're a part of the 49ers or the Warriors or the Giants, like, front office. Like, you feel like you're getting paid, or like you're on their dime. It's weird how we talk about it. It's very strange to me. Listen, I'm rooting for Jonathan Kuminga this year. If that's a hot take, whatever. Like, so I am rooting for him to succeed, because you know what? I think a good and motivated Jonathan Kuminga could help the Warriors.
I agree.
What a concept. So the notion that people would now be rooting against him to see him fail is just, that's not a fan to me.
I think what I've really, what's really been evident on two topics
just
for me.
Just because the guy wanted to get paid more. Like, I get what he wanted to do. Did it work out in his favor? Probably not. But you know what? If he balls out this year, they come to the table again and get a new contract done, or he gets traded somewhere else and gets a contract done. You know what? He'll get paid more. And maybe this will all work out for both parties in the end. Right now, it's working out for the next 3 or 4 months, Joey.
I do believe that the way we talk about players nowadays, especially in the media, I think the media and the way we're so sensitive. The job is to talk about sports and the games that happen. And so when guys play well, you know, we congratulate them. And when they don't play well, you know, our job is to criticize, critique, analyze, maybe suggest lineup combinations, or talk about the games, talk
we
about the team.
We provide our opinions on the matter.
But where I do believe that we've lost the plot is that whether it's Brock Purdy, whether it's Willie Adames or Rafi Devers, whether it's Jonathan Kuminga, if you critique the player on the floor or critique their actions regarding how they handle a contract, you're not a Kuminga guy. You're not a Purdy guy. Or simultaneously, if you support somebody on what they do.
I'm a Mac Jones guy, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
I'm
saying.
I'm a big Mac Jones guy.
And like, and I would just say this, like, hey, dude, like, I'm one of the biggest Lincecum fans of all time. When it was done, I had to like say, like, damn, this sucks.
Yeah.
We're kind of done.
He's cooked.
We have to talk about what's happening on the floor. So as it relates to Jonathan Kuminga, you know I've rooted for Jonathan Kuminga. Do I think that he's handled everything brilliantly? Not really. Not really. I do think he can help this team. I do think he has things he needs to work on. I do think, to your point that you've been saying for probably some time now, the best version of the Warriors does have Kuminga somewhere in the mix as an impact player, both accepting whatever role people have designed for him and also maybe showcasing elements to his game that we don't even know if he can do yet. But that being said, if he plays great, that doesn't mean, see, told you, JK's the man. Exactly. He's going to the Hall of Fame. And if he plays poorly, that doesn't mean he's the worst player in the league. Trade him immediately. Like, I think we've lost the plot. I root for the Warriors.
Yes.
I want the Warriors to win. So when he holds out for 92 days and I'm frustrated over it, you know why? It's because my Warriors couldn't sign Al Horford. My Warriors couldn't bring in Seth Curry. My Warriors couldn't bring in GP2. Now that he signed, my Warriors look freaking deep.
Now that he did this before the official start of training camp is also a big deal, because it's not like this is an NFL situation where Ayuk or Trent Williams or Bosa missed the entirety of it and clearly looked compromised at the start of the season.
Yes.
J.K. is going to be there for training camp. Al Horford's going to be there. De'Anthony Melton, all these guys. So that's why it was so important that it got figured out yesterday, and I'm glad both parties finally figured it out. I don't care who said yes first. Like, they got it done.
Joe.
That's what I'm celebrating today. They got it done. Let's move forward. And can we finally talk about basketball? For the first time, Joe, on our call yesterday, we actually talked. All right, where do the Warriors stack in the West now? Wow! We can actually talk about the Warriors in the Western Conference compared to all these other teams.
Friday, they had 11 guys on their website.
And
11.
Now, and now?
Now they got 17.
Yeah, they're back, baby.
They got 17.
Let's go.
That doesn't include Kuminga.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy to be talking about basketball again.
No, I mean, like,
again.
Look, we finally got it done.
I know.
Jeez Louise.
I'm happy about that. We're Warriors fans out this morning. We kept taking your calls about it the last 90 days. Now that he signed, you're nowhere to be found. 888-957-9570.
I guess the question is, are you satisfied? Mm. Did the resolution satisfy you? And are you ready to move on? Are we all ready to move on and just root for our squad?
Well, you said a word right there, which I don't think Warriors fans are going to agree with, the resolution, which I don't know if it's resolved, but in the short term, this is like a Band-Aid, right? We put the Band-Aid on, we stop the bleeding, it's going to scab over for a little bit, and maybe we'll pick the scab again post-January, and maybe he'll get traded again. But for now, Joe, we could actually worry about the basketball portion of all this. And where does he stack with this team? Where's Jimmy, Steph, Draymond, Potts, Al Horford? You got a new face in Al Horford for a multi-year deal, by the way. We didn't even talk about Al Horford, multi-year deal.
What is their average age? I mean,
they're clearly the oldest. Like, it's not even close.
I mean, it's one of the oldest teams I can remember.
Like, ever. This is why it's so fascinating to talk about through this landscape, because you do have three bona fide Hall of Famers right there.
I know.
Jimmy has taken a team to not one, but two NBA finals as the lead dog. Steph and Draymond have each won four NBA titles. They are first ballot Hall of Famers, all three of them.
Wait, are you going to omit my guy?
Pat Spencer?
Thank you!
Yeah, he's back.
39 games played last year. The dog is back. Get my guy. Dude, he is. I love Pat Spencer. For a
you
third
and Jana Mountain
guard,
deal.
Sign me up for Pat Spencer.
For a third point guard,
what?
Yes.
I watched a video with TJ McConnell, and it was amazing. He was like, you know what? I've stayed in the league for over a decade because all I do is work hard. He's like, I pick up everyone, all full court, and conditioning and outworking people is my hallmark. He's like, that's all I have. And so I'm bringing that to the table.
He's playing into the stereotype of the white athlete. I work hard. I'm a gym rat. I show up early.
You don't like?
I'm a coach's son.
How dare you disrespect my boy TJ McConnell?
I didn't disrespect him.
To be 6'1", and play a decade in the league is remarkable.
No, I'm not. Please, look at me, Joe. Like, am I some sort of athlete? No, I'm not sleeping on the TJ McConnells or Pat Spencer's.
But Pat Spencer's got bounce.
He does.
I mean, he might be one of their more athletic players.
I liked whoever it was.
Dude, how dare you?
The snort is so good.
I love when he wears the tiny t-shirt underneath the jersey.
Oh, yeah. Well, he can't show off the guns. It would be blinding to everyone. It's just too much right now. Guns are a hot topic right now. Pat Spencer can't be showing those things. Shout out to those watching on YouTube.
I may not be in on Kuminga or Pods. I am all in on Pat Spencer, bro.
That's right.
The Hive.
I'm all in on YouTube right now, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Finance to get the dealer. By the way, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Jonathan Kuminga is back, Warriors fans. Now what? 888-957-9570 is the number. Nick Friedell. Cousin Nick, he's back on the Warriors beat, too.
What's up, Nicholas?
Incredible season. What was that?
What's up, Nicholas?
Was that Jimmy Butler saying Nicholas to Nick Friedell?
What's up, Nicholas?
That's hilarious. This is going to be Nick's questions, by the way. For those of you who don't remember, maybe before we get Nick
We might have to play his intro.
We're going to play his intro.
Bro, I'm not talking to you
anymore.
We need
the Kelly Oubre back and forth that made Nick a legend here in the Bay. But he returns to the Warriors beat for The Athletic. Can't wait to talk to him at 8:30.
Joe, we were doing it with one of the COVID shows.
Oh, God.
And I think Bonte had just had his daughter. And we had Kareth Burke on, and he asked like a 4-minute question to Kareth Burke. And she's like, it's in the intro. She's like, what? Huh? Like, it was absolutely hilarious. Then he rephrased it for another 37 seconds.
By the way, Steve Kerr talked yesterday. Do you want to hear what Steve Kerr, his thoughts on this entire thing? He seemed to poo-poo this entire Jonathan Kuminga thing. He's like, psh, please, we've dealt with much bigger things. We have much bigger fish to fry than Jonathan Kuminga's contract. I'm not worried about it. He also asked if anyone wants to talk about the game of basketball, kind of like Bob Melvin when he asks, does anyone want to talk about the game? No, Bob. No one cares about the game.
Here's my question.
Are you going to be here next year?
Here's my question to Steve. Steve, will you trust someone over the height of 6'7 to play in the second half after February?
It bothers me.
I just want to know.
I like that you use the word trust. We're going to have a Spadoni circle of trust later on in this show. It's going to be Warriors edition. Kuminga, Kerr, Steph, ooh, Jimmy, all of it.
Did you see who we got?
Who?
Marques Bolden used to play for the Bucks. 6'10, 27 years old, 3-year pro.
Is he related to Anquan Bolden?
Did you see who else we got?
No.
Dude.
Who?
We got some guy from the Jazz. Tavion Kinsey, 6'5. Dominoes are falling.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Moderna. Jonathan Kuminga's back, and those two guys, whoever they are, we're talking about it all. I'm all in on the Dubs. They got a preseason game this Sunday against the Lakers. They got LeBron.
Jackson Rose back.
Oh, Jackson
6'7.
Rose. We'll definitely get into that.
1-year pro.
We could actually.
Canada.
Joe, we could actually talk about the roster. Aren't you so excited?
So pumped.
Me too. On 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, we are locked and loaded here in the Bay. Oh, Sharks preseason's happening. Celebrini, sophomore season. We don't need a sophomore slump from Celebrini. That is what we don't want. I'm looking for another level to be raised. So we're fired up here, Joe. I'm excited,
oh
man.
God.
Plus the Oaken Roots. Next Tuesday, baby. October 7th. You know your roots. I like that Niners hat, by the way. It's nice.
Oh, thank you. So if Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings can't go, listen to who your wide receivers could be. Kendrick Bourne, Marques Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore, and maybe possibly Jordan Watkins.
Sky's the limit, baby. Let's go.
He got hit so hard on special teams.
He did.
I was shocked he went back into that game.
He got popped. I thought he was going to fumble.
Destroyed.
That's going to be very interesting. By the way, Brock Purdy spoke to the media yesterday. We'll get into his thoughts on how he's feeling now. Because it's one thing for the coach to tell us how he's feeling. I would like to hear from the player himself.
But if I analyze Brock Purdy's thoughts in a negative way, I'm going to be deemed a non-Brock Purdy fan.
Well, I just want you to know that the toe is connected to the foot. So we can call it a toe injury, but it's also a foot injury on top of that. So I want to make that clear.
Everyone on the Niners is hurt.
Everyone.
I mean, it's just a second.
Everyone.
Insane.
I think Kyle's hurt, too. I think he said in the offseason he needs surgery on, like, his ACL or one of his ligaments. He, like, can't run.
Kyle?
Yeah, no, Shanahan. I kid you not. I'm pretty sure he's fighting through adversity right now.
Wow.
Well, and Robert Saleh is trying to fight the other team's coaches. There's just a lot
happening.
You know
what? Just for a second, we talk about Robert Saleh.
Sure.
What does he have? What is he at? 7, 8, 9, 10 kids?
He's got a lot. Not as many of the Spadonis as I am one of 10, obviously, but close, I think.
You know, we kind of laughed about it the day after because it is funny. Right? But the more and more I thought about it, you know, it's really difficult to be a leader in any workforce when you pull some stuff that you're kind of ashamed of and you don't just wear it and be like, you know what? I was really wrong and I was out of line and blah, blah. The way that he discussed what happened on Sunday and what led up to it at the podium, like, Robert, you kind of called them out. You know, you kind of called them out. And then, you know, it's not your team. It's Kyle's team. Now, you were asked a question, and to me, you kind of went scorched earth on them, and you called out not just one, but a variety of coaches, one of them you're facing in 2 days.
And guys he's very familiar with, guys that he's been on staffs with before, like a Sean McVay. Like you know Sean. You know LaFleur. You know, like, that's a tight-knit group. So I was surprised, Joe, that he did that.
I just, you know, I'm a big believer in, like, we're all going to make mistakes. And we're all going to do stuff that we are ashamed of and disappointed in ourselves in. And it's like, how do you handle it? Mm. You know, do you run from it or do you, I hate to use this term in this modern day, but my dad's called manning up, like man up, you know, and that was an all encompassing term for fall on the sword, look someone in the eye, be sincere and own up to the mistakes that you've made. And yeah, you can apologize, but your actions moving forward are what's going to determine, you know, if you've learned from it or not. And I thought the whole sequence of him trying to defend himself in a light way, he's digging himself a bigger ditch on this one. And I'm really disappointed in Robert Saul, a guy who I actually hold in really high regard. I like him as a human being. Like, I don't know him. I'm just going off of what I see at a podium. He seems like a really upstanding dude. This is a very bad situation. And I just think that on the front end, he handled it wrong. During the little skirmish, he said some things that probably wants back. I'm not going to hold him that much against him. It's the heat of the moment. You're on the field. You're pissed, whatever.
And
then you have days to kind of like reflect. I just thought it was bad.
Seven children, by the way, for Robert Saleh and his wife, Sanaa. So there you go.
I don't know. Like, and this, I'm not him. And I know the NFL is not your family. I understand that. But like, I always say to myself, like, how can I tell a bunch of kids that I coach, hey, stay in school if I didn't finish my high school and get my diploma? You know, it's pretty disingenuous to tell them it's extremely important and you have to do it and you have to do it. I don't know. So like, when you talk about being, you know, a leader on a team and you're the coach and you're standing there and you're expecting excellence and people to fall in line and you don't want them to commit stupid penalties and then you're doing something like that.
As you have once said, Joe, practice what you preach.
Right? Exactly.
There you go.
Now, is it the end of the world? No, it's not the end of the world. I'm not here to run the guy out of town.
Just a bad look.
I just thought, I think if he could do a do-over, I think he would reflect. You know what I would say? Like, I think about this a lot. Like, what would my dad say?
Mm.
My dad used to, like, tell me things like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Shut up, apologize, and move on.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, what are you doing? You were wrong.
I thought Sunday, we talked about it yesterday with Bonte, I thought the 49ers lost their composure multiple times emotionally. I think Trent Williams going on the sideline, yelling at the players, like, dude, you're down right now. Get the hell off their sideline. You're like, what are you trying to do? Start a fight so we can get more penalties and ruin a drive? That we're clearly struggling against this team. Stay in your huddle. Yeah. Stay in your lane.
Stay focused on the task at hand.
And another guy that I was disappointed with in the game, he was fine, but like towards the end there, like, Fred, what are you doing trying to jump the pile on a kneel down when it's victory formation? That's Vontaze Perfect type of stuff, bro.
I don't know. You're too good
for that, Fred.
I think he felt some kind of way about Trevor. I don't know.
He's too good for that.
That one I'm not as upset about, but I can see if I was a Jaguar fan, I could absolutely see how I'd be like, dude, what are you doing?
They would say that's Bush League. They would. And if someone else tried to do that,
I would agree.
Like if Devin Lloyd tried to do that to the Niners at the end of the game, Niner fans would be saying the same thing. But, what are you doing, bro? Especially on a quarterback that's hurt in Brock Purdy. People would be saying that.
But I also understand that his resume is so comprehensive, I'm always going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
No, I'm
not saying that I would excuse horrible behavior, but it's like I would like more content. Also, you get to the end of these games, you get, I don't know, there's kind of like some unwritten rules and some not, and that play, like, he almost got the ball.
Well, it's the Jalen Carter whenever he tries to slide under that.
I know.
He's going to get him one of these days.
I know, it sounds insane. Like, I don't know. I'm a little less harsh on that.
For sure.
I did think the solid thing. God, come on, Robert.
Well,
we
asked Baldy about it yesterday. And by the way, we're taking your calls and texts. Jonathan Kuminga is back in a Golden State Warriors uniform. 2 years, 48.5 million dollar contract to return to the Golden State Warriors. It's basically a 1-1 deal with a team option, and he can get traded past January. What is that? 15th.
I know you have to say that. I just. God, like you signed him so you could trade him, and it's I feel bad for the kid. I feel bad for the team that they're gonna have that sentence attached to everything Kuminga related for the next 4 months. That sucks.
I'm just the messenger, but
no,
yes,
I
hear you.
But it's how the broadcast is gonna talk about it
when
they're on ESPN or NBC or whatever. So you're not alone.
And they'll be asked about it constantly too, the players, the coach, what have you. Brian Baldinger on, Robert Saleh in the pass rush, because I thought this was funny.
Robert Saleh could get all pissy about what Liam Cohen's doing, whatever. I'd be pissed at my defensive line. I think that's what happens when you lose Nick Bosa. You lose a guy that knows how to play the game the right way, with great talent but great effort. You just can't let that slide. The great players in San Francisco have been Bosa and Fred. We know who they are. And they probably are their hardest working guys, you know, George. And you lose a great player and he's not on the field. I don't know if they have another ringleader there, another alpha dog that can show them how to do it.
With great talent comes great responsibility. I know it was great power from Uncle Ben. Shout out Spider-Man. But I loved when he said, with great talent comes this. That was Baldy on with us yesterday. If you guys missed any of that interview, really good stuff. Brian Baldinger joined us every Tuesday, 7:30. Find it on YouTube or the Odyssey app. So we'll put a bow on the solid conversation. We can get back into the 49ers at some point, though, because I do want to hear from Brock Purdy and how he's feeling physically, mentally, all of that. We got a game tomorrow, folks. It's Rams. It's Niners. It's Thursday Night Football. And are they? Can they even suit up a team? I legitimately, they had 12 people on the hypothetical injury report on Monday who practiced yesterday, who did not practice. We'll break it all down. And Jonathan Kuminga's back, folks. We talked all summer long about this guy. He's finally returned. Crickets. I'm disappointed. Come on, shouldn't we be happy? Shouldn't we be excited? If I'm going to be at the game this Sunday when the Warriors are taking on the Lakers and Luka and LeBron and whoever's going to be there, and Jake LaRavia, I'm going to be standing and clapping for JK when his name's announced. That's going to be me. Wonder what Warrior fans are going to do. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. You have to spit on it, rub some dirt. Remember the good old-fashioned saying, just rub some dirt on it is my favorite. Hey, Brock, just put like a cold steak. It'll make you feel better. By the way, I still don't know the inception of that, like putting a cold steak on something.
Well, it's something that you had probably in the freezer, right? Because people used to freeze meat, right?
Well, maybe. But like sometimes, I also think the inception
what do you mean,
of that.
Maybe? No, back in the day, you wouldn't just, like the way we go and get fresh meat now, that's not how it used to be. People would have steaks in their freezer. You would get a slab or whatever.
I know that, but I think that saying came before like freezers were even in existence.
Freezers have been around for a long, long time.
Well, our versions of freezers, I'm saying, have not been around as long as you think. It's okay. It's science. 888-957-9570.
That freezers have been around close to 100 years.
Cody, are you okay?
Yeah, exactly. What are we?
Yeah, 100 years into totality of history is not a long time, guys. I don't need to go philosophical
on you. I'm not saying
that. You guys didn't take philosophy classes.
Put a steak on it is like, hey, you're hurt. You take the cold, frozen steak. You stick it on like a bruise.
Yeah, we'll find the inception of that. By the way, maybe Brock Purdy needs to do that. We'll get back into the Jonathan Kuminga saga.
Never cease to amaze me.
Because I do want to talk about Brock Purdy. The guy, the team has a game tomorrow. Like, we need to be talking about this. Like, Brock Purdy spoke to the media yesterday, Joe.
Yeah, you play that, and I'm going to tell you my setting for Brock Purdy the rest of the way.
Hey, Brock, how do you feel compared to week one after today?
No, I feel a lot better compared to the week one game for sure. Toes just a little sore from the game, but nowhere near as bad as after Seattle.
And here's more from Brock, sort of expecting to have this toe soreness.
Something that we talked about, playing might, you know, lead to some soreness and stuff. So sort of expected it, but, you know, with a quick turnaround, Thursday night game and everything, it's tougher. I don't have as many days to, you know, get right and heal up and feel better. So just where we're at.
Oh, who could have seen that coming? Wow. Literally everyone. That you had a short week and that your toe was going to be sore and the recovery period was going to be harder. Oh, weird. Yeah. Sorry. I don't mean to be cynical on this. It's just, the writing was on the wall this whole time. I'm going to take a step back, take a playoff. Brock Purdy is questionable technically for tomorrow's game. I would be shocked if he played. Ricky Pearsall, questionable for tomorrow's game. I would be shocked if he played in that game, just given what he means to this offense right now. And you need that guy somewhat healthy throughout the entire year. I would, as a precaution, not play him. But again, as Bonte mentioned yesterday, as you mentioned, these guys want to force their way onto the field. But this is where the coaching staff, this is where the training staff needs to protect the players from themselves sometimes and tell them to take a playoff. But we're 24 hours away, Joe, from a massive game. It's a short flight, but it is on artificial surface. It's against a division rival that has a monster defensive line. Jared Verse has been a baller. If you have an early DPOY case, as we're now in the month of October, he would have that. He's been incredible. Incredible.
My setting for Brock Purdy for the rest of this little run here until we get to November. So the entire month of October, since today is October 1st, my setting is very simple. If he is not close to 100%, I'm not playing him. If one of my star pitchers that I invested $100 or $200 million into, let's say it's Logan Webb, if he had some shoulder issues, all right, I would throw him on the IL. Do I know that it take my chances of winning take a big hit by putting him on there? Absolutely. I understand that. But really, you don't have to win every single game over the next month like you would in November and December when the season is, you know, really won or lost.
And the retort to that would be, and I know it's not like for like the same, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but the person would be like, yeah, but a pitcher in baseball is nowhere near as important as a quarterback in football. If we're just going there, how an imprint of wins in the totality of the season.
Did you see what happened last night in the Yankee game? Aaron Judge played the outfield for the first time in a long, long, long time because he can't throw. Okay, and he,
why not? Did he hurt his arm or something? He just can't throw.
He's gonna have Tommy John on his arm. He has like a UCL injury.
Oh,
it's really bad. It's really bad.
That is bad.
All right. And what did they end up doing? They DH'd him, and they didn't. They
still gonna win MVP. Probably. It's insane. Continue.
They didn't put him out on the field for months for this reason because he couldn't throw, and they knew it. Now it's the playoffs, so they throw him out there because they're trying to put out their best lineup.
Right.
Now they've gone beyond the point of, hey, we've got time and all that stuff. When Draymond Green hurt his back, the Warriors had the luxury of being able to just sit him. And he said, hey, if these were playoff games or we needed to be ready to go, this is the 2022 season, for the playoffs, I would suit up. But right now, I'm not. So I'm not going to suit up because we don't need it. Like right now, the schedule is on their side in the sense that you're 3-1. Parts of the benefit of getting off to a good start is that you're not as desperate early in the season as you have in years past. So I would do everything I can to get him as close to 100% as possible over the next couple of weeks. And look, if in a week, you know, he feels 100%, yeah, you throw him back out there. If in 2 weeks, let's say this week he doesn't feel, in 2 weeks, if he's not feeling 100%, just hold off.
Mm.
It's not the end of the world. This is why you got Mac Jones as a backup. All right? Purdy, when healthy, is the guy. You have too much invested into him, and it's not about just getting a bunch of wins week to week. It's also about having the most optimal team come year's end. Remember a couple years back, they put George Kittle and Deebo Samuel on short-term IR. So why? So that they could be ready for the team come November and December. Brock Purdy means more than just this game, more than just next week's game, Tampa Bay. To me, he should be treated like any of the premium players across sports when you're at the first, third, quarter of the season, you don't risk losing him for the entire year by playing him. And I want to get him as close to healthy as possible. And if Mac is ready to roll and Purdy is not close to 100%, I'm going with Mac. Not because I don't like Purdy, because I care about Purdy being good in December and in January so that we can make a legitimate run.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the barrier for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Brock Purdy officially questionable for tomorrow's game against the Rams. Here's more from Brock speaking to media yesterday. Asked if the quote-unquote mini-bye after Thursday Night Football would motivate him not to play tomorrow.
100%. If I can play this game, I'm going to play. And obviously, you know, I want to get right and get healthy and everything. But we need to win this game against the Rams. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Well, see, and I would step in and I would say, like, wanting to play, but at what level are you at? Are you able to move around? Are you able to step into your throws? Are you able to confidently be able to roll these rollouts and maneuver in the pocket? Because if you're not able to do those things, then you're not functional enough. We see this in other sports all the time. Guys try to give it a go, and then they go, oh, you know what? He doesn't have it today. Right. Or he's hurt. We need to replace that individual and take him out. To me, they're obviously going to test it in some fashion today, probably right before game time tomorrow. I think you need to be superly cautious with this.
He was also asked, this is a quick response, if the game were tonight, he could not play. Take a listen.
Tonight, no, but I have 2 days.
I mean, is it going to heal that much in 2 days that he can play on it? I
think we need to come to the realization he'll be dealing with this probably close to all year.
Yeah.
And that's why, to me, the only thing that's going to be able to just at least quell it for the time being is rest, right? And if you're going to be dealing with this all year, what's more important? For him to rest now, to get it up to whatever level he needs to be, and then start doing the depreciation week after week after week, or trotting him out there right now and continuing to depreciate it without that proper rest?
It's just such a tricky injury to deal with.
I agree.
And when we have guys that have played at a high level in the NFL, the Brian Baldingers, the Lorenzo Neals tell us, you know, early on here, this is something that he's going to have to be dealing with all year long. And lo and behold, shout out Lo Neal, like he was telling us, yeah, he's probably going to have to get that metal plate in his foot. Oh, and that's what he did. He put the metal plate, not inside of his foot, but in the cleat to protect it. And that's what they're doing right now. And it clearly showed that he was uncomfortable in that game against the Jaguars. Just uncomfortable is the word I would use to describe his play.
So in the pocket, he, to me, and I'm just going off this, like if you're just going in the pocket, he can make throws from the pocket.
Yes, he made some good throws. He did.
The third down throw to Kendrick Bourne was like perfect. But he also, like what makes him is the ability to extend plays and the ability to get outside the pocket and to be able to move and change platforms, you know? And I think so many things are seen as like a sweeping indicator that you don't like a player. Russell Wilson, by design, would move around because he couldn't see in the pocket.
Yep.
If you relegated Russell to being a pocket quarterback, you knew that the opposing defense, that's the version of Russell they wanted to relegate him to.
Yeah.
Not that he couldn't do things, but that of the versions that you were playing against, that's the one you want to reduce to. Kyler Murray, what's the version you want him to be?
Fast.
No, you not from the defensive perspective.
From the defense. You want him to be in the pocket. Yes.
Exactly.
The cage-style defense that the Niners have used in the past on
And the reason I use both those guys, because both those guys, similar to Brock, smaller in stature, can beat you with the arm, but like movement is their number one asset. It's what separates them. It's what makes them elite.
It is literally what they hang their hat on. They don't win that game in Seattle with a hampered Brock Purdy.
And he also has, you know, good to great decision making. He has good to great touch. But we would all agree, like if you're mobile, you're the best version of yourself. If you're not as mobile, you're not the best version of yourself.
Well, and he spoke to that yesterday to the media on if any of that injury lingering with the toe led to some overthrows against the Jaguars.
Still, I don't really know. I missed the throws on film and everything, but is it something that had to do with my toe and whatnot? I couldn't tell you at this point. You know, like, I'm still trying to get better and feel good with my toe and everything, but I think down the road after I feel 100% and good to go, you know, start throwing the ball, maybe I can come back and answer that question, but right now I still don't know.
One thing that Drew Brees has talked about is that the shorter quarterbacks, all of
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.